Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. Evan Drellick wrote the book, Winning Fixes Everything, former Houston Chronicle writer and now author here at Evan Drellick, E-V-A-N-D-R-E-L-L-I-C-H. That's on Twitter. Evan, welcome to the show. We appreciate you being here.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
How's the book going so far?
I think, well, you tell me. I've seen positive reception. Certainly some Astros fans are and I expect it, not thrilled. But, I'm glad it's out. It took a long time. I wanted to wait to talk about the Astros reporting until I had this whole story to present to people. So that's really been the relief for me. The story's out in the world.
Evan Drellick with us here on ESPN 97.5. You caught all of our eyes when you talked about the other teams cheating. That was a headline when the book came out. Now, oh, wow, you see this, what Evan Drellick said about other teams doing it as well. Yet, you also said, listen, the Astros are always going to be more egregious, right? No matter what happens, what they did was more egregious than everybody else.
Well, if we have evidence at some point that some team had done something to the Astros level, you know, we could have a conversation about it. But it's a complicated thing. Yes, other teams were stealing signs electronically. It became the case that inside of baseball, part of this is owed to the commissioner's office, that the scheme the Astros undertook is viewed by everybody as being... So I have a colleague named Andy McCulloch. He used to cover the Dodgers. He's now a national writer. And I was talking to him down in spring training in Florida, and he said he was talking to somebody in sport. It's like the Astros broke the Geneva Convention. They took what other teams were doing and, you know, elevated by one level or really by multiple levels. But, you know, you could have a debate about, well, is any cheating equivalent to another form of cheating? I don't think most people think about it that way. You know, I always go back to the speeding violation idea. You can do 90 in a 65, you can do 130 in a 65. Does somebody else doing 90 justify you doing 130? I think in most cases people logically know no, it doesn't.
Okay, so I just have one follow-up to that. It's that, okay, if the Astros had known, if some other team was accused and some other team was punished, if someone some other team was ostracized as harshly as the Astros were, do you think the Astros would have talked at that time? Do you think the Astros would have given it all up like they did? Or do you think they maybe would have played it maybe like the Boston Red Sox did? I find it really hard to believe that Alex Cora, who was in the middle of all of this stuff here with the Houston Astros, was suspended for a year for his part. I find it hard to believe he went to Boston the next year, and he had absolutely nothing to do with the Red Sox, that he would have just said, oh, what? And it was a video coordinator that did it all. I really do believe that everybody – in the industry shut up when they saw what had happened to the Houston Astros. Is that a possibility in your mind?
I think it's more the case that Major League Baseball, after punishing the Astros, wants scandals to go away. It does not want to keep having investigation after investigation. Why did MLB investigate the Red Sox at all? It's because Ken Rosenthal and I also reported on the Red Sox. But, yeah, I look at the findings, and the book has this, that the league had in the Red Sox case to be, you know, a PR effort. That they were, it was a flip-flop from what the precedent the commissioner had said previously was. Yeah, he said, I'm going to hold the GM and the manager accountable. And in that Red Sox report that Manfred puts out, he says even that Cora didn't communicate well enough to the players what the rules are. So, yeah, I do think it is ridiculous that one guy takes the fall in Boston, the video operator, J.T. Watkins. As far as the immunity question, I think the whole premise there of the what the Astros were doing wouldn't have been found out by the league to be kind of ridiculous, because the story Ken Rosenthal and I had was really thorough. We had a player on the record. We had other people off anonymously. And, then there was video. John Boy compiled video very quickly after our story came out. Like, the notion that if you don't grant these players immunity, you can't punish or get to the bottom of it, I just don't think that's right. That's not the reason the league didn't end up trying to punish the players. The reason the league doesn't end up trying to punish the players in the Astros case is because Manfred hadn't given notice to the players' union of how he would punish it. And if you don't give notice to a union of how you're going to punish a certain behavior, guess what? They can file a grievance and they can overturn or reduce the punishment. And so if Manfred had done that, well, then he'd still look pretty darn weak. So I think the only thing he could do at that point was grant immunity. But I don't think he granted immunity because it was the only way he was going to get to the bottom of the story. We already got to the bottom of the story.
Evan Drellick is our guest from The Athletic. He wrote the book Winning Fixes Everything. One of the things that I kind of read between the lines, Evan, after the Astros, well, it started with Brandon Taubman and when that broke. And I could really sense the fact that people in baseball circles kind of, I don't want to say had it out for the Astros, but it's like they understood there was something going on behind the scenes that maybe the public didn't know about, you know, the things being toxic behind the scenes, whatever it may be, firings, hirings, treating people a certain way. Is that the case? Is there something that baseball writers, beat writers, and people around the baseball industry know this, especially with some of the anecdotes in your book where there's been things going on with the Astros that people around baseball really didn't care for who cover the sport?
Well, you know, if you go back to 2014, 9 years ago, I wrote about the Astros culture in a piece for the Houston Chronicle that at the time got a lot of attention. It was referenced in Ben Ryder's book about the Astros that came out right after they won the World Series. You know, in a way, I hope my book kind of shows people that what you see on the field doesn't always line up with what's actually going on behind the scenes. So, yeah, did the general baseball media start newly paying attention to what the Astros were doing after the Taubman incident and after the trade for Roberto Osuna? Yes. Should people have been paying more attention earlier? Yeah, I think so, and I was. And I'm very proud of the fact that I was, raising the questions that others in the industry had about the way the Astros were doing business. Let's say there's a hypothetical world where the Astros don't cheat. Everything else in my book still happened, and it's pretty wild and it's pretty crazy, all the stuff that was going on behind the scenes. And so, in general, fans, media, everybody's built around this notion of, if you win, you're great. Well, what if you win and there's a lot of other stuff going on? And I think narratively, that's difficult for anybody, fan, media. But in the case of the Astros, it's the truth. It's really what was going on. There was a lot more to the story than simply what's going on the field.
Nationally, James Click leaving, them not renewing James Click, Jim Crane not renewing James Click, was outraged. The media was more or less outraged that a general manager who just won the World Series wasn't retained. It's a business. And is it okay to run a sports franchise like you would run a Fortune 500 company, or no?
it really depends what that, at the end of the day, actually means to run it like a Fortune 500 company. I'll make a point that I think is important, and actually was made in the book. Somebody in the inner circle, a friend of Luno's, you know, tells Luno at one point that he didn't properly appreciate the fact that Jim and himself, Jeff, were not actually running a business that was comparable to the outside world. Why is that? Because baseball is 30 teams, 30 businesses in a closed circle with an antitrust exemption. The Astros are not actually trying to put the Yankees out of business. The Astros are not trying to put the Orioles out of business. You know, it is not, at the end of the day, actually a perfect analog to the outside world, right? And, you know, should any business owner try to save money? Yeah, sure. You can run an efficient operation without doing a lot of the stuff that the Astros did. And so I think that thinking can be a bit of a crutch. Well, you know, I'm treating it like the outside world. Does that give you license to do anything you want? Or does it give you license to do everything that the book shows that the Astros did? Well, you know, we see the effects of what the Astros did.
Evan Drellick with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A lot of people, when Click left, said, bring Luno back, bring Luno back. Your book and the way you outline it, I thought that Jeff Luno would work again in the business. Now, Jeff Luno is doing, you know, Spanish soccer. So, you know, he said, I'm good. Don't worry about me. But could he have, is there any chance that anybody could bring Jeff Luno back at any point, or is he done?
Well, I think there's always a chance. I think it's a pretty small chance given a lot of different things. One, the culture. You know, I think Jeff rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. People inside Houston, people outside Houston. You know, I think if you read the book and go, gee, that's a guy I want to work for, I you know, people can have that stance, but I think in general the consensus would be that's not the culture you want. I mean, remember, the commissioner's office, Manfred, publicly tears apart the culture Luno had built in his Astros report, right? That's not a common thing. That's a pretty extraordinary step for a commissioner to take. And then remember that Luno, you know, in the wake of the scandal, tries to pass blame off to everybody else but himself, everybody else. And he sues his owner. You know, and if you're another Major League Baseball owner, I think the fact that Luno turned around and sued Crane is probably something that deters you. So my guess is that he's not coming back to baseball. Do I think it's impossible? No, I don't think it's impossible. But I think the evidence and the sentiment that exists is stacked against it.
What do you think this second World Series has done, though, for this organization? Has it changed at all? Do you think people's thinking about him?
So one of the lessons, and I was kind of getting to this idea earlier, I think of this book and really the Astros saga in general, is this question of, okay, they won a World Series. Does that mean everything is great? And you know, my answer to that is it takes a lot of time to figure out what's actually going on behind the scenes in any organization. I don't mean just sports. You know, if you're a reporter covering something, you drop in for 3 days, interview the head of the business, and you know, get a lot of nice quotes and whatever else. Like, you're not really seeing how things are operating. And that's the way journalism works a lot of the time, is, you know, you don't have that much time to cover something and go in, get a few interviews, get out. But I do not know at this point in time whether Jim Crane has fixed his culture. I would hope that he's tried to make some changes in the wake of everything that happened in his first 10 years in Houston. But I don't know. And the point I want to deliver to people is the fact that the Astros win the 2022 World Series, that clearly demonstrates the Astros are still good at building baseball rosters. Whether it means that they're good at other stuff, treating people well, whether the culture is actually improved behind the scenes, totally different question. And I think it's hard for people to separate that out. But they won, so they must be great. Well, the 2017 Astros won as well, you know.
Right. Yeah, I think most people, though, unless they read your book, don't know the inner workings, and they just look at, well, the cheaters, but I think they may have validated that they're good at baseball without cheating. I think probably, you know, most people don't know. Unless they read what you've written, Evan, they don't know that, you know, the toxicity of the organization before or what it's like now, like you just said, like what it's like now. But it validated that they're good at baseball.
Yeah, in my book, and I think everything should make clear that the Astros have always been good at putting together a roster, right? I mean, it's not as though Jeff Luhnow or James Click didn't do smart things as far as, you know, the actual construction of a team, the evaluation of players, the acquisition of players, the development of players. Yeah, the Astros clearly have been good at that. And, you know, the book and I think the conversation I hope people can have is all that matters the end result, or does the means by which you get there matter? And do you care about how you get there? And you know, the 2017 team is the extreme example of that, where, yeah, they held up the trophy at the end of the year, but the conversation doesn't end there, and I don't think it should end there.
Do you think, Evan, before we let you go, I know you've been asked this question, and I'm sure you've seen the accusations, or not accusations, but there are people who are going to say, well, Evan, you've got an axe to grind. I mean, the team went after your media pass back in the day, and this is an axe to grind, and yada, yada, yada. How do you, A, if you want to tell people what necessitated why they tried to go after your media pass, and then B, how do you answer that when people say, well, isn't this an axe to grind type thing for you?
Yeah, so no, it's not an axe to grind, but I'm almost glad you're asking this question. I got asked it the other day, and I didn't expound on it quite this way. So let's go through it a little bit step by step here. If you are a reporter covering anything, doesn't have to be a sports team, you're covering some entity, local government, business, sports team, whatever, and the group you're covering or people you're covering try to get you removed from the job, does that inherently mean that you did anything wrong? The answer is no. It might. It's not impossible that a business or a sports team could have, you know, a legitimate gripe and legitimate reason to try to get somebody removed from the beat. But when people follow that logic, okay, the Astros tried to get Evan fired from covering the team, which is true. In 2015, Jim Crane and Gene Diaz, spokesperson for the Astros, had a meeting with two of the top editors of the Houston Chronicle, and they were trying to get me removed from the beat. They just didn't like my coverage. I had done nothing wrong. I was telling people the truth, and they didn't like it, right? And that's all it was. But think of the power you're vesting in a business or an entity, a sports team, if you know that's happened, and you go, well, any reporting that person does subsequently is jaded. It's ridiculous, right? Because then you're giving any business or sports team or government license, you know, to try to get somebody fired at any point, and basically saying anything that reporter does afterward is null and void. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. I didn't do anything wrong in Houston. It's simply the case that Jim Crane wanted fluffy, positive coverage all the time. He didn't get it from me. And, you know, all my reporting has been accurate. It's been relevant. It's been fair. And so, no, there's no axe to grind. And I would really caution people to think about that notion, right? Just because a team tries to get somebody fired doesn't invalidate what the person was doing. Doesn't mean that the person did anything wrong at all.
That's Evan Drellick. Winning fixes everything. Man, we appreciate it. Thanks for your time. We really appreciate you spending time here, and good luck with the book.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, there's Evan Drellick right here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 right here. Good stuff. I don't know that I read Astro Ball, like he said. I got none of that, and I don't know Ben. You know, we had Ben Ryder on the show. And I don't know if Ben, after he saw Evan Drellick's book, said, wow, I must have missed a lot of stuff because I didn't get any of that feel. I know it was Jeff Luna was tough, but you certainly didn't get that the toxicity in that Astro Ball book. I actually came away from the Astro Ball book feeling like Jeff Luna was a superhero, if you want to know the truth.
Well, but it also, like, that was the tone. That was the and Evan Drellick's book had a tone. And so the stories are going to be about the tone of the book. And I'm sure with Ben, because Ben was writing an article for the Astros basically came from nothing. And, you know, so he was looking for those stories as well. It'd be interesting to see if he saw any of these other things. Like I said, it's interesting to me. I care more about the product on the field, but I do care about front office stuff always and ownership stuff because it can leak into fan relations or relationships with players or, you know, and I think we know Jim Crane is kind of a hard man. Like he's
business, bro.
He doesn't mess around now. He doesn't mess around. And sometimes it could be to the detriment of personal relationships. And so read into it what you want, but he also has gotten results for our city. And this is the thing. If you get results in life anywhere, let me tell you, there's a lot of people willing to just say, I don't care about the other stuff because this guy is doing this and this doesn't impact me and I like to win, period.
That's it.
I ain't dealing with him,
don't tell me
so
how the sausage
matter.
Is made, okay?
Yeah.
I don't want to know.
See, Twitter wants to know how sausage is made. I don't.
No, I want to eat. It's delicious.
Give me W's.
Sausage is delicious, and I don't care what's in it, okay? So that's
save that, Dell. That's a RJ, that's a joke where – so here's how this joke works out. John says something inappropriate, or I say something inappropriate, and we would say, save that, Dell, and he already would have saved it. RJ doesn't make us look bad like...
No. No, like he's a nice guy.
Ugly
not like
ball
Del.
Of hate, Dell.
No.
RJ's like, hey, you know what? You take me to a Rocket game, I'm going to do something nice for you. If you ever said you'd take Dell to a Rocket game, would he even go?
No, no
say,
he wouldn't
I don't
go.
Want to go. We're not friends, and I don't want to go anywhere
no,
with you.
No, I don't want to be near you. Why would I want to do that after work? Uh-huh. I have to be with
Did
you
Did RJ
work.
Sit next to you?
I'm looking at you, a Much picture nicer of you person. With the NFL mic flag, and you have a tattoo.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yeah, a Mary
Somebody
Elizabeth
Winstead.
Somebody
has put a tattoo on my head, yeah.
On your head.
Uh-huh.
What the heck? I didn't
I don't
know
like
you
the way
had
it looks.
That.
I don't.
What
That's
are you talking about?
Photoshop.
I'm looking at the picture.
It's a Photoshop. It's a Photoshop.
Oh, my God.
I don't have that, and I don't really like the way it looks.
Well,
it's
maybe
too big.
Maybe you drank too much tequila, and that happened. You don't know.
Well, I do. Well, here's the thing. It is. I will admit now, Maestro Bell is extremely smooth, and when you have a very smooth sipping tequila, you can get into the bottle a little bit now because there's no burn. It's like, you know, the tequila little face that you make when you're drinking a cheap tequila and you get the burn. That ain't the face with Maestro Bell. It's a very pleasant face that you're making because it has a great flavor profile. It's got a little hint of sweetness at the back end because of the way it's created. 11 generations of tequila makers in Tequila, Mexico have fine-tuned the process, and it's incredible. All these different varieties of tequilas, the Reposado, the Añejo, the Cristalino, they invented that category, by the way. They have all been created specifically to have a different flavor profile. So you could conceivably have three or four bottles of Maestro Nobel, and they're all different, and they're all in the tequila family. Great opportunity for you to add a bottle to your shelf. We're talking about a premium tequila at a very fair price, and you can find this wherever fine liquors are sold or at your local restaurant. If they don't carry Maestro Nobel, I was here at a restaurant just 2 days ago, and they had the Maestro Nobel in there. If they don't have it, and that's in Indianapolis, if they don't have it in Texas, you demand they start carrying Maestro Nobel. It's Maestro Nobel.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.